Something Strange is Happening to Alex Mayfield. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you for joining me for this special edition of The Right Stuff. Today at 9 o'clock p.m. at a special time. I'm so excited about today's show because we are talking about a subject that I just love to talk about, which is UFOs, alien abduction, and everything in between. And as you know, I love to showcase our authors who do darker fiction during the month of Halloween because, as Mike Duran says, why should Satan have all the fun? We also believe that horror novel and thriller writing is an excellent way to show the human condition and show no matter how dark it gets, God's light can penetrate through that darkness. With me today is a returning guest co-host and contributor, Jess Hanna. Those of you know, when I first started reading Jess Hanna, I had listened to his story on the Untold podcast, his story called If It Causes You to Sin. And as I was listening to the story, I think I was at work, and I was listening to it, and I remember just cringing the entire time I was there. And I love the premise behind that particular story. So make sure you visit the Untold Podcast at untoldpodcast.com and listen to that story, as well as so many other stories. If you like Christians who write speculative fiction, no matter what genre it's in, Untold Podcast is the place to be. And what I want to also encourage you to let you know that my newest book that I wrote with my twin sister, Lynette Roman, has come out. It's called Shattered Illusion, and it's part of a series, a multiple author project called Seven Mafia Brides for Seven Brothers. So if you ever remember the movie Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, you'll definitely like this spin, Seven Mafia Brides for Seven Brothers. We've taken mafia romance, and most of you who read mafia romance, you know it's kind of a dark romance with alpha characters, men who treat women like crud, but somehow they fall in love with them anyway. And we cleaned it up, and we put some God-fearing elements in there while keeping just a little bit spicy and a whole lot sweet. So make sure you pick up Shattered Illusion today. And the next book in this series, my book, Axel's Sunshine, will be coming out Friday, October 11th. So go ahead and pre-order your copy anytime this week. I'm sure you will enjoy it. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, but you can always call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Right Stuff, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5, here at a special time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, with my special guest, co-host, and contributor today, Jess Hanna. As I told you before, he is the author of a number of books, including If It Causes You to Sin, a short story that's produced by the Untold Podcast. Make sure you go to untoldpodcast.com, listen to that story if you want an introduction to the mind that is Jess Hanna. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Jess Hanna. Jess, how are you doing today?
Hi, Parker. I am doing great, and I just want to thank you for having me on the show again. I think it's our third time together, and I'm trusting that this time will be just as interesting as the rest of them have been.
I love my job as a podcast host because I get to follow your career and see your career grow, see your book catalog grow. It always gives me such pleasure to do that. And I always tell my authors, for those of you listening, that I am not interested in short-term flings, but in long-term relationships. And I love to see the authors come back and tell us more about their books, what's going on. Some of them have gone on to have awards. I had Tosca Lee on the show. Now she's having a TV show. I've had Piper Hughley. She's won an award. You know, so many of the authors who've been on the show have gone to expand their careers, whether through some kind of special accolades or just writing more books and getting more readers and stuff like that. So it's always my pleasure to have you, Jess. You know I'm a big fan. You know I love your writing. I especially like The Road to Hell, and I can't wait. Oh, I won't reveal that right now. But anyway, I love The Road to Hell, and that book was so good, just spine-tingling. And you know I was introduced to you through If It Causes You to Sin by the Untold Podcast. And so just excited to talk about this book, which is a topic that I enjoy speculating about, which is UFOs, alien abductions, and everything in between. There are so many people, Jess, who believe in UFOs, and then there are so many people who are skeptical about the whole thing. So let's kind of tackle this really quickly, because the basis of this is the basis of your story. So let's go ahead and tackle this whole subject here. Tell us about what you think about the UFO phenomena.
Well, I too find it difficult to dismiss the entire UFO phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Over the years, there have been millions of reported UFO sightings, whether that's lights in the sky or flying discs or other type of anomalies that can't typically be explained. And typically with those experiences, there's usually no conclusive physical evidence. There might be some spotty video or maybe some pictures, but it's hard to actually quantify and prove what those sightings are. And I think even recently, the United States Navy did confirm that there were at least 3 reported videos that are out there that they are saying are legitimate. They have no idea what they are, but they are legitimate sightings of something.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's the murkiness of UFO phenomena that continues to make it such an interesting topic to speculate about, because and UFOs simply does mean unidentified flying object at its most base and most simple. But most people see UFOs directly related to alien abduction, alien interaction, contact, things of that nature. So let's go ahead and talk about that, because most people, when they hear UFO, this is what they think about. And, of course, I have to give a quick tag to an old movie called The Abyss. And we saw in that movie USO, which is unidentified sea object. So, you know, what would you call it, right? So we got all these things that we don't know, that we don't know what they are, and so we begin to speculate about them. So let's talk about that. Why does our mind instantly go toward, okay, I cannot identify what this flying object is. Therefore, it must be an alien introduction or alien UFO.
Well, I think a large part of that has to do with the UFO sightings and where they're located, right? They're located in the sky, so our automatic thought is to think that it's something from outer space, something perhaps that is alien in nature, something that is outside of this world, which I think is pretty accurate in most people's minds why they actually go there in their thinking. You did say something about linking it with abductions, and also there's hundreds of thousands of reports over the years of people claiming to be abducted, so there is a lot of eyewitness testimony and impersonal testimony that just the sheer numbers is hard to actually just dismiss. So I think there's something going on here. What that is, I guess that is a matter for debate that I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more.
Well, it is a matter of debate because, like I said, I can always disclaim what someone else has seen until I experience it for myself. And I know before the broadcast, I was thinking of something I had seen myself because as I was reading Bright Light to Dark Skies, which is your release that we're talking about, related to this topic, I remember seeing something that I just could not explain. There was no way to logicize it away, as they say. You couldn't say it's a bird or a plane. You couldn't say that. It was just something weird I saw. And me being the type of person, I would survive a horror novel or a horror movie because I don't investigate, okay? I figure my life is very nice the way it is. Why make it more exciting? So I know that I would never, you know, I don't have that curiosity. But at the same time, when it comes to this phenomena, we can't help but wonder what is that? Or if it's someone that's if it's alien, why are they here? All these kind of questions come to mind. In your own opinion, Jess, what are some of the philosophical underpinnings of UFOs and alien phenomena that we're talking about today? What are some of the philosophy under it? Like, are we looking for someone out there to take care of us? Are we looking for someone out there to destroy us? What do you think?
Well, I think a large part of the creative community, when they do explore this kind of idea, and also philosophers, I think that people, at least one faction of people, do tend to believe that these entities are benign and are reaching out, trying to communicate with us in some way. What that communication consists of, we're not quite sure, but they may feel that they're trying to send a signal to us for some reason in order to communicate. And then, of course, you have the side that I would fall on, and probably a lot of the other creative types, writers and perhaps filmmakers, would fall on, where these creatures are here to destroy us. And I think that just comes from the unknown nature of these UFOs, and also just the reports that people have. For example, when they're abducted, the reports do follow a common strain. Even though the credibility of the individuals experiencing it could be questioned, there is still some common strains with it that include things like being taken without involuntarily, so being kidnapped, taken somewhere completely foreign, and tortured in a variety of ways. And people may or may not remember everything that happened to them, but in those experiences, when they report them, there are these common threads where they experience some sort of supernatural experiences, and then it just follows down a trail concluding with abduction and perhaps even continuing after that.
Well, let's talk about that, because most people know about the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And when we say close encounters, we need to categorize what we mean by close encounters. So go ahead and tell us the categories of close encounters when it comes to this alien phenomena.
Right. Well, there are typically at least three that people are maybe familiar with watching movies or investigating on their own. The first kind is typically a sighting of a UFO from a distance, so the lights or the flying saucer, something like that from a distance. That would be classified as a first kind of close encounter. A second kind of close encounter involves a sighting, but it's also some sort of an interference with, let's say, for example, electrical equipment. So if you're using Close Encounters of the Third Kind as an example, in that movie there was a truck that had some electrical interference, and you know, that's kind of a common type of trope in these stories there, where there's some kind of interference with maybe something electrical or something in the physical world that shouldn't be happening that does. The third kind is actually communication or a sighting of what could be described as a creature. So in a lot of these reports from people who've claimed to be abducted, they may refer to them as the grays, which are the typical alien with kind of the gray skin and big eyes and just smooth skin with gray big heads, that sort of thing. So actually seeing some sort of a creature or actual communication. There is a fourth kind, which is described as the actual abduction. And those are typically the most common types of encounters. And also where close encounters seems to focus on the communication aspect, I think that maybe they were making that a little bit too positive experience, in my opinion, but it was still an interesting story.
You know, a lot of times, though, and that's something we could talk about later on within our broadcast, a lot of times these encounters, particularly when it comes to encounters of the fourth kind, they're not good encounters. A lot of people have traumatic experiences happen to them or are under some kind of mental strain after these encounters. And I think that's important to remember because, as you know, Jess, I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and the aliens that we encounter in the real world setting, for those who claim to have seen these beings or whatever, are a lot different than Star Trek, you know. In Star Trek, they're all just, you know, political structures, and they're just like us and did this A to Z. But in these encounters, there's often not the same type of benevolence that you may expect from, you know, from like Star Trek, things of that nature. And I think that's a significant aspect of our topic as we begin to delve further into this, you know. And so here we are talking about aliens late at night during the month of October, which I think is totally awesome, by the way, you know. And so I got to ask you, Jess, you've always been the type to really push the boundaries on what you write, particularly as you write for the Lord, you know. And so you write for the Lord, or you write as the Lord as your guide, but you write darker fiction, and you enjoy writing darker fiction. And like I said earlier in our introduction, I believe the darker fiction allows us to see that there is no place too dark that God's light cannot penetrate. And I think it's an important part. So where is the darkness here in your book, Bright Lights, Dark Skies? For our listeners out there, it's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So how does God's light penetrate this darkness about the alien phenomenon? Or should the question be, what is so dark about the alien phenomena? Either or. Let me know what you think about either of those questions.
Right. So really what the book is exploring is a character who does not know the Lord, is not a Christian, and is basically just living his life. He's basically living a solitary existence, but he experiences things that he cannot explain, which sets him down a path of exploring, trying to find out what it is that's happening to him and how he can deal with this or understand what it is. So I think in that sense, in a lot of scenarios, and at least with me in my personal life, I obviously came to the Lord when I was 15 years old, so I didn't have a lot of life experience before then. But looking at experiences before that, I've always been fascinated by the supernatural, and I think that kind of fascination tends to draw you down the path of seeking spiritual truth. So that's really what the story kind of follows down this path, obviously using the close encounters of four kinds, culminating in alien abduction, to actually lead down that path to turning toward the Lord. So, I mean, as we know, we do have an adversary in Satan who tries all kinds of things to distract us from the truth. And I think that's a big part of what happens in this story, is a lot of distraction in trying to drive this character away from a truth that he's exploring.
When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk to Jess about something, because I can hear some of our listeners saying already, what are you talking about? What does the spiritual world or God or Jesus or the Bible have anything to do with alien phenomena? I know some of our listeners are thinking that, and you're welcome to join the conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Coe, hashtag right stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guest, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to the author of Bright Lights, Dark Skies, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. His name is Jess Hanna, and as I told you before earlier in the broadcast, he is a wonderful writer. If you want a taste of his writing, why don't you go ahead and visit UntoldPodcast.com and listen to his story, If It Causes You to Sin. If you want a taste of Jess Hanna, that is a wonderful, glorious taste of his writing and his imagination. And Jess, once again, thank you for joining us on the show as we continue our discussion, because this discussion about UFOs and alien phenomena, abduction, close encounters, two-way contact, and so much more is a huge part of your story, Bright Lights, Dark Skies, again, available on Amazon.com. One of the questions that I asked before the break was this. Some people, when they heard your response to my last question, may be thinking, why would you mention Jesus or God when it comes to alien phenomena? What does one have to do with the others? Aliens are simply another species that exists in the universe. So what would you say to that? Because a lot of people are skeptical that there's anything spiritual about alien phenomena. What would you say to that?
Well, I think that there are certainly a number of theories about UFOs and alien abductions and what it is, what it means, and I think in a lot of ways those have been illustrated in different movies. You mentioned Close Encounters of the Third Kind. There's also a movie from the 90s called Fire in the Sky, which is basically a vivid description of alien abduction, but there's no answers in that. So really what the story is going through is seeing, is this actually alien abduction? Is this something that's positive? Are we just being studied? Or is there something darker there? And when you look at a lot of these encounters that people describe about alien abductions, I mentioned earlier that they follow a similar path leading to some sort of torture. If you actually look back, I believe one of the earliest recorded accounts that we commonly refer to as an alien abduction is from the 1800s, but it's actually described as an experience with demonic possession. Mm-hmm. So with that experience, there's a lot of parallels. So I think that it is kind of another avenue to explore to see, is this really aliens from another planet, or is this something else that mm-hmm. wants to distract or destroy us?
You know, I have to give a shout out to a couple of authors here who have tackled this topic in different ways. Hope you don't mind, Jess. But one of the authors, her name is Pauline Creed, P.J. Creedon, and she did a story called Sanctuary. And it's a really unique take on end times. And so she had it to where the planet was, they were being taken over by these beings. And then another person I have to reach out to, his name is Doug Woodward, and he's at doomsdaydoug.com, and he's very much into this type of thing as well. And he talks about how a lot of the alien research or alien phenomenal research, particularly in the late 1800s, early 1900s, had a lot of occultic backgrounds to it. And he talked about, of course, you know, I'm going to say it, Roswell. He talked about Roswell. And he talked about how they had did some kind of, I want to say some kind of something out there, some kind of ceremony or some weird thing out there. Next thing you know, how all this weird alien phenomena start to happen. And he said that's extremely significant. That didn't happen until they did this thing out there. So you have to read his books to get more insight into that. But I think you make a very good point that a lot of this has spiritual underpinnings to it, which has to call into question what exactly is going on. And so let's go ahead and take that train of thought and apply it to your story, Bright Lights, Dark Skies. So you got all this information coming at you about alien phenomena, UFOs, abductions, things of that nature, Jess. So when did the genesis of this story come to be?
Well, it really came to be just thinking about my mission with writing, which is to search things that are common fears or are common issues. So The Road to Hell was dealing with hell, is it real, is it not real, and then Adverse Possession, which is dealing with a haunted house, what is that all about? It's really what my mission is with writing is to equip people to recognize what these things are so that they are able to deal with them in an appropriate manner, in a way to actually confront those fears and those entities that maybe they are dealing with in their own lives. I think there's a lot of people who have strange experiences that maybe they don't tell other people, or they do and they look for answers and they don't really get any. So mm-hmm. that's really what that was about with this particular story, is dealing with the alien and UFOs and different types of encounters and abductions and all of it.
What I love about Bright Light, Dark Skies, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, I love the slow burn of this book, because as you follow Alex, who's our main character, you can see him start to go mad with these experiences that are happening with him. And as the experiences escalate, his fear begins to escalate. And so I want to talk about Alex for a minute, because Alex is personally one of the most solitary characters I've ever met. Like, from the beginning of the book, he is alone, okay? Like, he lives in the sticks. He's the guard of a fruit factory, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my gosh, how exciting could your life possibly be, you know? And then strange things begin to happen. But at the same time, I sense, Jess, that Alex can be any of us. We go about our lives doing what we usually do, and then something happens. Was that a thought that you originally put into your idea, or is that just something Parker came up with? Tell me your thoughts there.
Oh, I definitely would agree that you are on the right track with that. So Alex is a character, as you've seen, is very solitary. He has very little human interaction aside from the couple of coworkers he has late at night working as a security guard, and also the encounters that he would have going to the store, doing the normal things that we do in our life. But I think it actually illustrates also a point about a lot of us. I think that in this common culture, we've kind of stopped engaging with each other directly so much. So we're very focused on, let's say, our personal devices, our cell phones, and we live in that world where we're just kind of essentially all alone. And I think that the story kind of plays on that kind of experience. And then when something happens, for example, with Alex in the story, he starts looking for answers and trying to find people to help him and even questions his own solitude. So that is actually something that I think is relevant today, when perhaps maybe we need to look a little deeper and see why are we so solitary or so independent that we can't seek out other people, or we just try to draw into ourselves. And I know as an introvert naturally, that is something that I tend to do, but we all need a network of people in order to actually support us and help us through life.
You know, it's funny because I'm not an introvert. Even though I'm a writer, I'm not an introvert, even though I have my introvert moments, particularly when I'm trying to write. It's like, world, go away, I'm trying to write. But as an extrovert, I love the company of people. I love being around people. I love talking to people. You know, God gave me that ability to have the gift of gab. And more than once I've seen, most of the time I think of myself like, oh, she won't shut up, you know. But over time, someone said, you know, the fact that you do talk, you bring something to the table. So you bring people together. And I didn't realize this until probably last year. I didn't realize that. I just thought I was just, you know, talking too much. But then I realized that people who have been standing apart from each other begin to congregate, because in the middle of that, it's just this chattering fool named Parker, you know. And so, but at the end of the day, you know, people tend to respond to people. You know, we need each other. And I think that's important, because when something traumatic happens, whether, you know, in this case, it's an alien abduction, you know, I'm sure it's an alien abduction, alien encounter, or something bad happens in your life, imagine not having anyone to talk to. Imagine not having anyone to get answers for. And particularly for Alex, who's not a Christian, he doesn't think he even has someone higher to go to. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of thoughts about why we are so isolated from each other, even though we're supposed to be connected even closer. And one thing I like that you did, I like the realism of of Alex's coworkers, because they were irritating me, because I've been in that position where you're waiting for someone to come so you can go, and all they have is excuses. But he's a nice guy. He won't say anything. Yeah, sure, because at the end of the day, what else he's going to do but just go home? You know, and so I like that. So let's, you know, one of the things about your book, there's classic tropes in your book that I think are fantastic. And I think I told you before we started our broadcast, like if I had starred in this book, it would be a very short book, you know, because the first weird thing, well, first of all, I wouldn't be in the country. We're done. Okay. So I wouldn't be in the country if, you know, the most rustic I ever got was a cabin with internet. You know what I mean? So there you go, you know. So tell us a little bit about his world here, Alex's world, because he encounters these things in a world that's dissimilar from the urban community. And why do you think that was an important element to the story? Is it just relying on the classic tropes of an alien abduction story, or is there more behind the scenes?
Well, I think the selection for the setting was really to increase the sense of his solitude. So being out in the sticks or in the country, you're not going to have anyone around. So I essentially set him up in where he's guarding. It's probably about 20 miles away from the nearest urban center. So he works there, but then he even lives further out where the neighbors are miles apart. And that goes back to my upbringing. I grew up, I guess you'd say, somewhat in the country. We had neighbors that were closer than miles apart, but I did grow up in a rural community, at least until the end of elementary school. And it's kind of playing on those fears of you're alone and what are you going to do when something happens. There, you don't really have any options. You either need to fight it or you need to run.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you'd
probably run. I'm on the run side. I'm on the running side, you know, and I feel like if I, you know, like you said, you know, sometimes you can't always run from something. Sometimes you just have to face it. And I like that inner courage that Alex has, because even though he's experiencing these things, he said, you know what, I may be a coward right now, but I'm not going to stay one. And I like that inner strength that you gave him. It could be because he lived in, he said, I'm going to face my fears. I'm going to face them. And I kind of like that aspect about Alex. And some of the other characters in here, they dip in and out here. So of all the characters, do you feel as if you relate to Alex, or was Alex just a product of your imagination?
Well, I think when you write characters, there's always a little piece of you in there. I would like to think that I would be as brave as Alex to face some of those things, but I don't know if I would be. I'm an introvert by nature, but I don't think that I'm a completely solitary person, so I don't know if that particular experience would happen to me. Of course, I think that writing in this way is a way to face some of those deep-seated fears that people may have in order to confront that in a fictional setting, but still write it in a way that feels realistic and hopefully terrifying.
Well, yeah, that's what I say. Your book is, and that's just a hallmark of your writing, is that slow burn. You know, it slowly starts to come to you. And not when I mean by slow burn, not that it's slow moving, but it's that slow burn, that creepiness just gets more and more intense as the reader goes along. Because as I was reading, I'm here by myself reading, and I'm like, you know, you kind of one of those numbers there, because you think you see a shadow in the back of you, because that's slow burn, you know. And I like the creepiness of it. And so that's what I'm saying to my listeners out there. You're really going to enjoy Bright Lights, Dark Skies by Jess Hannah. I know you're going to enjoy it. And so what I want to do really quickly, because I'm not spoiling anything. If you look at the cover, you can kind of tell it's an alien abduction story. You can kind of tell, you know, the whole car, the light, you know, you kind of tell that. And so I want to read a quick excerpt, if that's okay with you. Is that okay with you, Janice? Okay, good.
Absolutely. So I would like to just give a little shout out for the cover that was designed by my wife, Jackie. She's an excellent, excellent graphic designer, and that just captured the book perfectly, and I couldn't have been happier.
Jackie is phenomenal, and I was telling you earlier, before the broadcast, how wonderful she is. So, Jackie, you are great. I wish I could draw straight lines, but we all can't do everything, so we'll go from there. And so what I'm going to read is a quick scene here, and it's from Alex's point of view. And what just happened is that his truck just stopped. It just stalled for no reason at all. And so what happens, I'm going to try to see where I can find it at. Here we go. I tossed the flashlight back into the bag and reached for a flare. I had one in my hand when the radio blared to life, spewing loud static. I froze in place, not registering what was happening. The face of the radio flickered with a low yellow light. The static grew louder and ebbed and flowed, the sound oscillating back and forth between the speakers I thought were dead. No sound had come out of them for years. I dropped the unlit flare and reached to lock the driver's side door, then leaned over and locked the passenger door. I swallowed a hard lump in my throat. The static was infused with a high-pitched whine that traveled across the audio field in a well-defined wave pattern. I could almost see a bump of water moving across the ocean toward the shore in my mind. The one thing I knew about waves was that they crested and broke. The first flutters of anxiety attacked my stomach. I breathed faster as my eyes darted back and forth in the darkness, but there was nothing to see but trees and road. The radio grew louder, more insistent. I had no plan, no idea about what I should do, so I did nothing. I sat behind the steering wheel and looked out of the windshield. I turned my head left and right to look out the side windows as well as the window behind me. Something inexplicable was happening. The only piece of technology, if you could still call it that, was that working in my decrepit truck was something that hadn't worked in years. True, the light coming from the face of the radio was low, but was present, and it should not have been. I was like a furtive animal acting on instinct, and my instinct was to hide. And that's an excerpt from Bright Light, Dark Skies, available for Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, by Jess Hannah. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we come back, more with Jess, and you can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. Again, hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Write Stuff with your questions and comments. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Jess Hannah. He is the author of the book Bright Lights, Dark Skies, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And I told you about this great new podcast out there called Ask the Author with Russell Sherrard. This week he'll be talking to Sherry Chamberlain, and those of you remember, she's been on my show as well. We love supporting our Christian authors worldwide, and Russell Sherrard is doing that. So make sure you check out his podcast, Ask the Author, this week with Sherry Chamberlain. Is his guest. Once again, thank you for tuning in. And Jess, as always, I'm so glad you're here on the show. I've been having such a good time talking about your book, Bright Light, Dark Skies, available on Amazon.com. And the whole thing about the alien encounter, alien phenomena, is the abduction. Because I do know, in fact, that if someone kidnapped my child or my brother or my sister, you know, I wouldn't take it lightly. But when it comes to alien abduction, it's completely different because you're dealing with a force that you don't particularly understand. So tell us about what has been some of the elements of alien abductions that's been reported, and has anyone ever been able to stop or get away from reported alien abduction?
Absolutely. So just in doing research on this topic and anecdotal stories that I've heard over the years, there does seem to be a common thread in these alien abductions that actually stops it from happening, and that is actually invoking the name of Jesus, which if you believe that the aliens are from another world, that theory may not necessarily hold up so well if they are stopped or they disappear at the name of Jesus. Why would that name be so powerful to these beings that are from another planet? And there's also reports of people having conversations with these creatures, and that is just one thing that they do not like, is that name.
And I think this is highly significant because it lets you know it's not just a physical part of this phenomena as much as a spiritual part. And that is very important, because then if it's a spiritual thing, then you have to ask yourself, what are we seeing? And so, of course, we have to go to the Bible for that, and I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going to go with that, Jess, but we have to actually ask ourselves what we're looking at when we deal with these phenomena. So while I find that verse, go ahead and tell us, you know, why is it so important to understand that this is not just physical or extraterrestrial, but rather more than that?
Right. So I feel that that's extremely important. If there are any experiences, not only with aliens or alien abduction, but anything that does seem strange, I think in today's world, we're very, very quick to discount experiences that people may have that defy explanation. They heard someone call their name, they hear noises somewhere in the house, so that's easily explained by just a different type of phenomena. But I think that people really need to look at the spiritual aspects and make sure that they're not dealing with something else in those cases. Now, not saying, of course, that evil is usually subtle and can manipulate us in easier ways than trying to scare us with different types of phenomenon, but it is very important to determine what that cause is and actually uncovering it so that you can face it. I think one of the things that I heard recently on Think Christian, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they had a recent podcast where they were talking about fear and horror, and that the Bible really tells us to face the fear with confidence, those who do believe in Jesus Christ, to be able to face it, where I think there's a large component in Christian world and world in general to kind of suppress fear or avoid fear. And it's something that's natural. Fear causes pain, and we want to avoid pain. But a part of the admonishment is to actually face it with that power behind us from Jesus in order to overcome those fears and defeat evil.
And Ephesians 6 really underpins what you just said. I'm going to read it right now, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this actually, what I'm about to read right now, just tells you, just really hones in what you just said about facing fear with confidence. But in order to face fear with confidence, you do have to be armored up too. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand to, I'm sorry, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then from there on, he talks about the armor of God and what each component is, because these things are not nice. The things that we see, they're not nice. And like I said earlier, with these abductions, we're talking about things happen to these people that devastate a person's mental capacity. You know, it's not Star Trek where we're about to form a federation. You know what I mean? These things do cruel things to people. And I think that's highly significant. And some people who really are gung-ho about, yeah, the aliens should do whatever you want because human beings are so horrible. If that's the case, why hurt us? You know what I'm saying? Like, why hurt us? Why be so detrimentally affect our minds? Why is it that we have this trauma to our brains and to our souls? You know, it's not just a physical thing. Like, if it was an alien abduction, let's say, like, portrayed on Star Trek, you know, I'm a Star Trek fan, portrayed on Star Trek, it's something external. You know, you can have scientific things happen and you can record it and all this other kind of stuff. And people try to do that here, but there's a spiritual element here that always can't be picked up by instruments, you know. And so I think it's important when we talk about this to understand exactly, if it's not an extraterrestrial being, then what is it? Then if it's not extraterrestrial, then what is it? You know what I'm saying? So how would you answer that question to someone who may be skeptical of what we're saying?
Oh, exactly. And I think that you do make a good point with, as far as these experiences, why is it always overwhelmingly negative? I don't think in all of my research or looking into these sorts of things that I have had one experience that a person has had individually with one of these creatures that has resulted in a positive experience. Even if they try to say that they've had a neutral experience, there is usually a component there where at some point, for example, if they start talking about Jesus or Christianity, where those creatures then churn negative and react to that. So if that is the case, how can you justify it not being something that is a spiritual component if that's the reaction of that creature to something that if they came from another planet, they probably wouldn't be aware of, number one, and number two, it wouldn't mean anything to them?
I was remembering a story I read, actually, about a guy who talked about his alien encounters that he had been having for a while, because after the fourth encounter, sometimes they have repeat visits. And in his thing, he actually, you may have seen it, Jess, he actually was painting his experiences with one particular being that he had. And they were sexual experience, they were sexual in nature, and he painted them. And he said the first time I visited him, I think he was like 17, 18, something like that. But, and I was reading the article, and mind you, the pictures are quite, they're quite arresting. You can't help but look at these paintings like, wow, that's really trippy. You know, you can't help but see it. But I'm thinking to myself, why are you, he said he's very comfortable about it. I said, but why would a being be having relations with you? I mean, why would that be happening? You know, so it's more to it than just what meets the eye. And he talks about how some of the experiences were not all pleasant, even though it was, again, sexual in nature, didn't mean it was all pleasant. I don't know, are you familiar with that particular story? It was something recently that I saw, like within the last month or two, if you saw anything about that, Jess.
Well, I'm not familiar with that particular story, but I do know there are numbers of stories where you mentioned multiple abductions and then also experiences of a sexual nature, and also that the same question that I have as you is, why would they want that experience with you, or to put a person through that experience with something that would be completely foreign to each other? It doesn't make logical sense why that would be their next conclusion. What is the purpose?
Yeah. And so for those of you out there, and I'm always very conscientious that we never know who's going to be listening to this show, and you may be one of those people who may be experiencing this right now. And what I want you to do, Jess, is talk to that person who may be experiencing frightening episodes of this, whether it's abduction, whether it's just, you know, weird, creepy things happening at night, whether it's just thoughts, whether you're playing around with it. I want you to speak to that person, let them know that they don't have to live there, that there is a way out. And I want you to speak to that person in a few moments that we have left.
Oh, absolutely. So if there is anyone out there that is experiencing any experiences with supernatural or aliens, or they have any kind of spiritual experience where there is something that is uncomfortable or feels unnatural about that, I would definitely seek out counsel of a close friend or go to your local church to look at the situation, talk with somebody in order to get help. And you can, of course, if you do have a Bible or if you do believe in God and you have put your faith in Jesus, I would recommend praying. And even if you don't have any of those other avenues, I would highly recommend reaching out in prayer, because I do believe that God can reach you where you're at, even if you don't have all of those resources available, in order to guide you in the direction to get you out of that circumstance. Because there's definitely people who feel like they may be trapped in some sort of experience that they don't want to deal with, and they can definitely seek that help. And I would highly recommend reaching out to a local Christian church to get that help that you need.
Jess, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with us on the show. I want you to encourage our would-be authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so.
Oh, absolutely. So obviously with my own writing, it started out with some strange ideas, and also I love to read. So I would just say some common advice is to both write and read. So as crazy as it seems, just write whatever you're thinking. It's probably not going to be great at first, but that's okay, because you can always go back and rewrite. That's one of the great things about writing. It's not something that you do once and then you're done. You can go back and revise and just hone that in. And also, don't be afraid to seek out the advice of other authors, and also to look for different writing groups that may be available either online or locally to support you on that journey.
You know, Jess, one of the things that I love about you is that you do write darker fiction. And I thank the Lord that he gave me this platform to showcase Christians like you, because some Christians, they want to write how God can pierce the darkness. And the only way you can see that is through the dark, if you're existing in the dark, you know. And I'm glad that you stand as one of those people who say, you know what, mainstream Christian publishing may not want to hear this, but Parker will. So I'm really glad that you took the time out to be with us today on the show. Really looking forward to finishing your book, Bright Light, Dark Skies. You know how I do. I tend to blow up your PM with my thoughts about it on your PM and everything. That's what I did with Chris Meeks. I blew up his PM and a few other authors I've had on the show and reading their books. And you know I enjoy your writing. You know I'm a fan and everything. So thank you so much for being with me on the show today. And when your next one comes out, give me a call, okay?
Oh, I will. And I do want to thank you for allowing me this platform to be on the show and talk about my writing and some of the strange things that I'm thinking.
Like that. What's that show? Stranger Things, right?
Right.
I love that show, by the way. I love it. I haven't watched the third season yet. Oh, gosh.
Oh,
I heard it's
really
good, though.
You're in for quite a story. Yes, absolutely.
I heard it's really good, but I have been writing lately my books, and so I said if I watch Stranger Things, I won't write. So I can't write. I can't watch that right now, but I will. I'm going to give it as a gift to myself. Jess, once again, thank you for being with us on the show today. Can't wait to have you back real soon, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And we were talking today to Jess Hanna. He is the author of the book Bright Light, Dark Skies, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. For those of you listening, you know the month of October, I particularly tend to highlight authors who write darker fiction because I truly believe that Satan doesn't have all power of the darkness. The darkness was created by God, not by Satan. And why should Satan have all the fun? Why do you attribute darkness to Satan when God is the one who created darkness? And if God created darkness, then his light is powerful enough to penetrate it. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.